This is the Yada Yada Podcast, where we get to the heart of the Christian sexual ethic with biblical truths and real talk about sex, purity, and relationships. We're your hosts, Ashley
and Amber
from Across My Heart Ministries.
Hello, and welcome back to episode 2 of season 2 of Yada Yada.
Last week, we talked about how we think too much of our bodies, and in the process, we can end up worshiping them over God. We can create idols out of our bodies and harm them along the way, such as with eating disorders or gender reassignment surgeries. Today, we're going to be talking about when we think too little of our bodies. And those two things, thinking too much or thinking too little, are actually much more connected than you might think. Because, you see, when we think too little of our body, the body can also get mistreated in the process.
And this isn't a new problem. We have seen this from the beginning of the early church in the letter to the Corinthians. If you see what was going on in Corinth at the time, really the church experienced both ends of this extreme. They thought way too much of their bodies, kind of worshiping, you know, pleasure and indulging in whatever they wanted to do with their bodies, thinking it was disconnected from any sort of spiritual consequence. So, you know, sexual relations, drunkenness, the like. The Corinthian letter speaks out against those things because the Corinth church was indulging in these pleasures and just worshiping like whatever they wanted to do with their bodies. But at the same time, there was a section of the church that really thought that the body was beneath them. They thought too little of it. And what I mean by that is they separated the spiritual from the physical. They thought the spiritual life was high and mighty, and anything with their physical bodies like just didn't matter.
They didn't see how they connected.
They didn't see how it connected. And so they would actually mistreat their physical bodies through, you know, starvation and fasting and just
to the extreme.
Yeah, not enjoying any of the good gifts that God has given us that are physical.
So like a minimalism
mindset. Yeah. And this obviously really,
but to the point of adultery.
Yes. Yeah. And this became also a tendency of the medieval church in church history. You see that in a lot of the monks' traditions, but it's present in the Corinthian letters. And so when Paul is talking about the body, he's very careful not to make too much or too little of it, but to show its connection to the spiritual and the physical being really one in God's design for how we live. And so I like how Sam Albury writes about it in his book, What God Has to Say About Our Bodies. He says, in the Bible, it's not just that you have a body, you are a body. And so what we do with our bodies matters. Not to think too much of them, not to think too little of them, but to think about them the way that God designed them.
Yeah, because when we think too little of our bodies, we can allow others to mistreat them, or we can mistreat them simply to pursue the pleasure that they might provide us, either in licentiousness, overeating, sexual sin, drug abuse, alcoholism, you name it. When we don't honor our bodies, we see them as tools just to get what we want. We look at the body and we ask the question, what can it do to please me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Nancy Piercy really talks about this in her book, Love Thy Body, that we don't honor our bodies enough. That we might obsess over them. We might think about them all the time. But
that's not the same as honoring them.
It's not the same as valuing them. Yeah. You can be obsessed. You can think too much of your body without putting proper value on the body. And so her argument in her book, Love Thy Body, is we don't honor our bodies enough. We don't honor them as being made in the image of God, which has resulted in all these horrible evils in society. I mean, from abortion to the, you know, prostitution, hookup culture, the gender reassignment surgeries that we're seeing today.
Kids.
Yeah. People just thinking not highly enough of their bodies as a temple of the Holy Spirit to dwell in. That that God has given these bodies as a way to be his hands and feet in this world. It, the spiritual and the physical are deeply connected.
Yeah.
And so Nancy Piercy, like I said, talks about that in her book. And I can't suggest it highly enough because, again, this is something that we're seeing in Christian circles.
Yeah.
This isn't just, oh, our culture has a problem with all of these, you know, beliefs. And we're over here believing all the right things. No, we have really gotten this wrong inside the church.
Yeah.
The same philosophies that are out in the world also actually have warped the way that we as the church even talk about and think about these things.
I mean, something as small as how to talk to your daughter about body image. I can't tell you how many well-intended Christians will say, like, oh, just don't make a big deal about her outward appearance. Like, don't, you know, talk about how pretty she is or how beautiful, and, you know, just kind of de-emphasize that. And instead, there's all these books about being brave and smart and strong and all these qualities of inner beauty. Like, read about all those things.
Like, inner beauty is the solution to problems with outer beauty.
Right. And it's not.
Mm-mm.
That's the misconception. And it's in our Christian circles that if we just reinforce inner beauty enough, make it all about inner beauty, then they won't struggle with insecurities of outer beauty. But all that you've done is made inner beauty the new idol.
Yeah.
Being brave and smart and strong, you've elevated those things in all of these children's books and, you know, the mantras that people repeat to their children. And what happens when your daughter is scared or she gets a bad grade on a test and suddenly she doesn't feel so smart or brave anymore? Inner beauty is not the solution to outer beauty. It never has been and never will be. The only way we don't think too much of our bodies or too little of our bodies is to think about our bodies the way that God does.
Ooh, yeah.
And so I tell my daughter that she's beautiful. I tell her that she's smart. I tell her she's strong, but never disproportionate to how much I tell her that she's loved.
Mm.
And that her identity is in who God created her to be. Her identity is in God's love for her. Her mom and her dad love her. God loves her. Our love is not conditional based on how pretty or smart or brave she is. While those are all good things, they're secondary to what truly matters. And so the Christian way isn't thinking too much of our bodies or too little of our bodies, but thinking of our bodies the way that God does, allowing him to inform our identity. He is the one who loves us, who chose to create us. He didn't even have to make you. Like, do you realize what a gift it is to even exist in this world?
Mm. Amen.
He chose to make you, endowed you with his very image. And our identity stems from that.
Yeah, so we read in 1 Timothy 4, verses 3 through 4, for everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving.
Mm.
So when we insult our bodies, either by thinking too much of them or by thinking too little of them, we really are insulting God.
Mm.
We are his handiwork after all. So when we're ungrateful, we fail to honor what God has created and given us. Yeah. Our bodies are part of who we are.
Amen.
In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20, actually Paul, when he's writing this, the word for body is actually used interchangeably to refer to the whole self. So yeah. Listen to this. It says, your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies.
Yeah, it's saying you, and then it's saying bodies, and then it's saying you again, and then it's saying bodies.
Yeah, so your body is you, and you are your body. You're more than just your body. You also are a soul, but your identity is tied to your physical being as well. So the body is broken. We know this, okay? We know that sin has broken everything in the world, and so our bodies are also broken, but that doesn't mean that it can't still be offered as a pleasing gift to God. Okay, we still can offer our bodies in the way that we look at them, the way that we think about them, the way that we treat them, what we do with them. We can still offer them as a living, beautiful, pleasing gift to God. So the next time that someone asks you what it is that you'd like to change about your body, rather than thinking too much on that or just dismissing the question altogether and thinking too little on it, let's look at how we can appreciate the bodies that God has given us. Let's look at that question as an opportunity to think about the ways in which we can honor God with our bodies.
I love that, because maybe there are things that need to change about our bodies in order to honor God with them. You know, that could be something as simple as dieting and exercise in a way that promotes the health and the well-being of a body that is meant to glorify God.
And not necessarily, you know, when we say health, it's not like a number on the scale, but your ability just to be able to engage with the world and people around you and be involved and invested. Like, there is a certain reality that your body has to be healthy in order to do those things. And there's, you know, diseases and things that can break our body and make it so that we have, I lost the word, physical impairment.
Yes.
You know, like our aunt, she has Parkinson's. Okay. So there's things that can come that you're, you know, diet and exercise, you're not going to just get around it. But for a lot of us, you know, that's not the case.
Right.
That's not the case. But, you know, how can we treat our body as a temple so that we can be involved and invested and, you know, feel good and therefore be able to be in people's lives more?
Well, and it changes the motive. It changes the motivation.
It does.
It changes the motivation from a self-obsessed idol.
Yeah. How can I look good? How can I just feel good about myself and how I look in a swimsuit or, you know, whatever.
To offering your bodies as a living sacrifice. For the sake of really God and others. I mean, the way of the Christian life is not a self-absorbed way of living. It is self-giving and loving. And even the example you gave of my aunt, our aunt with Parkinson's, you know, she is greatly limited, but even in her state, she has had to change the way that she views her body, what she can do with her body in order to just keep moving forward the next day. And out of her motivation of love for others, love for God, love for her husband, and even, you know, the little exercises and, you know, physical therapy that she can do, though greatly restricted. It's still a shift in your mindset for how can I continue to use the body God has given me in a way that glorifies him. And the fact that God asks us to use our bodies in a way that glorifies him. In that verse in Romans, which you may have noticed I quoted, offering your bodies as a living sacrifice, it says in Romans 12:1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. God is asking us to dedicate our bodies in service to him. And some translations even say this is your spiritual worship. Connecting the physical
to the spiritual
with the spiritual. Yeah. Those two things are not divided. Those two things are connected as we are embodied souls. And, you know, I think that there's this big emphasis in Christian circles when we read this verse and we think about sacrifice, that sacrifice is about death. Because of the
sacrificial system.
Yep. In Leviticus.
And Jesus' sacrifice.
So I think in Christian circles, when we read this verse, it's easy to emphasize, you know, oh, sacrifice, that's about death.
Yeah.
And when we read living sacrifice, like what? How can you be a living sacrifice? The entire sacrificial system was built on death offering in our place, Christ's death. in our place.
Sacrifice. Yeah.
Yes. And so this emphasis in our minds is often on, okay, dying to self. We have died so that we might live. And scripture talks about this. Baptism is a symbol from death to life with Christ. Galatians talks about being crucified with Christ. Romans 6:8. Now, if we have died with Christ, that we may also live with him. So when we read in Romans 12 that we're a living sacrifice, like, what does that even mean? How are you a sacrifice that is alive? And in the Levitical system, in Leviticus, there's five types of offerings. And this is something I never realized until this year when reading through the Bible again. In Leviticus, there are five different types of sacrifices, and only two of them are mandatory for the forgiveness of sins.
Interesting.
The other three are completely voluntary offerings because you desire to be in the presence of God.
Huh.
And so when I look at that in terms of being a living sacrifice today, being a living sacrifice with our bodies, I can't help but wonder if the emphasis should be not on living to earn our forgiveness for sins, because we don't do that. Mm-hmm. Christ's death did that. But living as a sacrifice to experience the fellowship with God.
Yeah, that is a good shift in perspective.
Our bodies are being offered as a living sacrifice. Why? To experience the fellowship and the presence of God in our lives.
Mm. Yeah, because it's like in order to follow God's ways, there has to sort of be, they're not, you know, might be what we want, but they're not always naturally what we would desire, what we would want. And so there has to be sort of a death to my own desire in order to pursue that which I know is God's best, what God desires for me. And in that process of, you know, dying to self, though I get to experience fellowship with God, like that's what fills that. And right. If I don't take that step of, you know, dying to self, I also don't get to experience that closer fellowship with God. You know, my sins have been forgiven.
Yeah.
But how close am I actually going to walk with God unless if, you know, I stop pursuing the things which God says, those aren't good for you.
Mm-hmm. Enjoying my presence is what is good for you.
Yeah, that's good.
And that's what the Levitical system was built around, this idea that these are your mandatory offerings for forgiveness of sins. But which is what Christ fulfilled for us. But these other three offerings are for enjoying the fellowship and the presence of life with God. Mm. So we're not saying you don't die to your selfish desires. Absolutely. Your old self is dead. You die to those things, but your new life is in Christ. The emphasis in this verse is not death, it's life. It's to be a living sacrifice, not to earn our salvation. Like we said, Christ's death did that, but to live as an offering, enjoying the presence of God voluntarily. And the fact that even God wants our bodies, that our bodies matter to him, that he wants us to live in a way that our bodies honor him, that they can bring him glory, speaks to what a good gift they are.
Mm.
Sam Elbury, again, in his book, What God Has to Say About Our Bodies, says that Christian living is in response to what God has done for us rather than our attempt to earn it. Even things like worship involve our bodies, lifting holy hands in prayer, raising our eyes to the heaven, you know, kneeling and falling prostrate before the Lord. Our bodies are literally ways that we worship God and thank him for everything that he's given us. I'm working on an ebook right now that, depending on when this episode is released, may or may not be available on our online shop, but it's an ebook for parents to talk to their kids about how we can use our bodies in ways that glorify God. And there's a liturgy in the end of the book on body image that talks about how we belong to God from head to toe.
Oh, how fun.
And so you go through this liturgy with your kids, touching each part of your body as you read. You say your ears, are to hear the truth and believe it, Romans 10:17. Your eyes are to see that God is with us, Luke 10:23. Your hands are to bless others. You touch your hands and you say that in Proverbs 22:9. Your mouth is to sing his praises, Psalm 71:23. Your feet to share the gospel of peace. Your legs to run in the ways he commands. You get it. It kind of goes through this whole list of ways that our body is glorifying God. That what we do with our bodies matters for the way that we live our lives and for the way that we honor him. Because everybody matters and everybody matters.
So yeah, our culture tends to treat our bodies as receptacles. Receptacles for the real you. That our internal feelings, we've taken and we've elevated them above our bodies until really to the point that it seems like they're all that matters. Sam Elsberry says in his book, in our culture, the hero today is not the person who risks his body for the sake of others, but the person who lays aside anything and anyone for the sake of being authentic. We most esteem not self-sacrifice, but self-expression.
Isn't that true? Mm-hmm. We see that everywhere in our culture. That we're praised, the real heroes, the covers of magazines, the awards given to people who put themselves and their desires over and above their families, mm-hmm. over and above the bodies that God gave them, to change their bodies in a way to match their self-expression. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a big part of transgender ideology.
What's more authentic is what I feel. Mm-hmm. My body is not authentic. Mm.
And so this obsession with what we would think would, you know, by focusing too much on the body, then mistreats the body and mm-hmm. really thinks too little of it. And so, like we said at the beginning of the episode, thinking too much of your body and thinking too little of your body, those things are really connected.
We were purposefully created with the bodies that we have. Our bodies are not accidental. They were intentionally created. We are in the exact body that God wanted us to have, and our biological, physical differences uniquely shape us.
Being male or female, black or white, tall or short, that all informs a part of our identity, which is why we even see that feminists are advocating for equal rights. Well, if, you know, a woman's experience aren't unique to them, why would they be doing that? Mm. Or, you know, Black Lives Matter activists, they identify injustices based on the color of their skin. Why would they do that?
If skin color didn't matter.
At all. Right. I mean, mm-hmm. these movements that are even taking place emphasize the importance of physical identity. And so we see in a lot of these activist movements this grain of truth that there's something about our physical embodiment, our identity in the bodies that we're given. If everyone who wants to be a woman can be, or if anyone who wants to be black can be, it would completely upend these movements. Uh-huh. If trans women are women, as the LGBT activists cry, and there's nothing unique about the bodily experience of a woman that's born female, then it erases feminism, right? Like feminists then no longer have a cause. And so that's actually interesting that you're seeing a lot of feminists stand up and speak out against transgender rights for that reason, because we're seeing the erasure of women. Uh-huh. And so we have a grain of truth in a lot of these movements that are taking place and supporting this, you know, this idea that there is something inherently unique about the identity of the bodies that we've been given. Biology means something. While there is more to us than our biology, there is not less.
Yeah.
We can't change the biological realities of the bodies that God has given us and the people that he has created us to be at such a time and place for a specific purpose, at this moment in history, in the families that you were born into, in the countries where you live, to make a difference, to be alive, to exist right now. Everybody matters and every body matters.
So just to review some of the things that we touched on to close out this episode. So when we think too much of our bodies, we tend to worship them and make idols of them. But when we think too little of our bodies, we end up mistreating them. And those two things are much more connected than we might think, as we've talked and seen in this episode. And so the answer to this is not to focus more on thinking less or thinking more, but rather to look at the third way, to think of our bodies the way God does.
Body image isn't solved by looking in the mirror, but by looking at the one whose image we reflect. So then we must ask ourselves, what does it mean to be created in the image of God? And what do our bodies have to do with that? What do our bodies have to do with being created in God's image? That is what we're going to talk about next week.
Sounds good. I'm excited.
Episode 3 is going to be all about being created in the image of God and how that affects our perception of our own body image and elevating other people's bodies.
Ooh, as good. Well. That's going to be good. So until then,
know
and be known.